Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also, tune in Monday. This is breaking news. Tune in on Monday nights to twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. Willie and I are going to hang out. We've got a new narrative podcast it's about these same topics, but it's written and it's called Parabnormal. So on Twitch on Monday nights during Monday Night Football, we're going to be drinking and watching Monday Night Football and brainstorming these ideas. I don't know if that's entertaining, but it might be. So check that out. Once again, that's twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our good friend. He's a writer and producer. It's Josh Alona.
You got it. Hi, guys.
I got it, but it's not spelled that way. It's spelled with an O.
Yeah, Alona. If anything, it's spelled very correct. Two O's. It's almost Alona.
Wait, you have to. Well, it's almost Hawaiian.
Maybe. Alona.
That's what I always think.
It sounds very Hawaiian.
Very Hawaiian.
What's new, man? So we should just say that Josh was a producer on our movie that we made, and he did a very good job.
Thank you.
He also was our producer for this podcast over a year when we were doing it at the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Aaron left, we were like, fuck Josh. We don't need to pay Josh. we'll just do it on Zoom. Like, fuck him.
Yeah.
Are you mad at us?
Honestly, it's kind of nice to have my Sunday evenings back. I'll say that. I love doing the show.
What do you do on Sunday? Are you're a basketball fan? Are you a football fan too or not?
I am a bandwagon Rams fan.
Stop right there. Are you a fan because they won a Super Bowl? Or are you a fan because they're in LA?
They're in LA. I started being a fan of them.
That's not bandwagon. Yeah.
All right.
Even though they recently won. They're making good moves. They have good ownership.
You entirely get a pass for that.
Thank you.
You're not a fair weather fan. You can do that. I mean, it's hard when you're a transplant to come out here and accept those teams. Like, I've only accepted the Dodgers just because I don't care about baseball and like fuck the Rockies, and the Dodgers are great and it's like 3 miles away. So
yeah.
Right. I keep trying to accept the Los Angeles Kings hockey. And I'm like, I can support them until you play the Avalanche. I'm like, oh gosh, I just can't root against
the King. But the Kings are too hard because, first of all, their color scheme elicits violence and thugs, right?
It's a bunch of Raiders. The Raiders, fans, exactly.
Unless your skin is painted silver. Oh wait, no, they took that too. They took that.
Well, Kings had their chance to kind of stake their claim on LA, like those 2 years they won championships, to back, but then. What the hell happened?
This is how you can tell that LA doesn't care about hockey. They've won so many times recently, and you don't see anybody wearing a Kings thing.
Yeah. There's only one team that matters in Staples Center, and the three other teams that play there, you know, are tenants.
So you went Rams. I know the Rams were here first. When the Chargers came here, were you like,
I'll say I'd like to meet a genuine Chargers fan and just ask them how they got there. It would be a trip.
They're from San Diego.
Right?
Well, I know one. He's from San Diego.
Yeah, my friend growing up was raised in San Diego, was a Chargers fan when they were there. He hates them now, even though they're in LA.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though it's the same state?
Even though it's the same state. Hmm. San Diego kind of hates LA, and most cities do.
I don't
do.
Blame them, but like, what are you going to do? Who are you going to root for? The fucking Cardinals? Like, what?
I think just more rooting for them to lose at this point. So
for San Diego to hate any city, they don't hate any other city. San Diego's like, it's all good, bro.
The Padres' only reason for existing is hating the Dodgers. They don't care about their own championship. when they beat the Dodgers in the NLDS last year, that was their championship.
That's their
And now they're not in the playoffs this year, so it's fun to watch them struggle.
Is MLB already in playoffs?
1 week about.
Oh, but it's been determined. Basically. Oh yeah,
pretty much. Like,
did the Rockies make it or not?
I think our teams are playing right now, and you guys are losing 7-0.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Rockies are a. I feel for Rocky fans.
I will not. I will never claim Rockies. I love their colors. I just can't. Yeah. I can't even wear their stuff, even though I love purple and I have so many purple things. Like, I'm not wearing a Rockies.
Dodgers minus 250 over under 11.5. Holy shit. They don't like the Rockies at all.
Well,
250? Jesus.
Yeah. The Rockies, I think, are 20 something games over under 500 or something.
The problem with the Rockies, because I know this because I grew up there and I saw it all happen. The owner of the Rockies,
Jeff
is it the Monfort? Is it the who is it?
Oh, you're right. Monfort's Jeff Burdich was the GM.
He was like, I like home runs.
Yeah.
So they made the field very short.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
Shortest field with the less dense air. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, didn't even think about the altitude. So now the balls are put in a humidor so that they don't hit that many home runs. It's insane. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We'll never be good. We'll never be good until they build a new stadium because no pitcher wants to go there. Because what? You're going to get lit up your entire... That fucks up your career.
Kenley Jansen, back when he was on the Dodgers, he couldn't pitch at Coors because it gave him heart issues. So every time we played the Rockies, Kenley would... We didn't have our closer because I think he had a heart aneurysm one time after
they
a
had
game.
Like, they had like one of those signs at roller coasters, like, you must be this tall, don't be pregnant. If you have a heart condition, you can't pitch.
Can't play at Coors. Yeah. that's how the Nuggets, you know, do their thing. Get
shut your mouth. The Nuggets swept the fucking Lakers.
Yeah, no,
two of those games were in LA. So fuck off.
That's truth. Yes. I have nothing to say about that. You guys rightfully claim that championship. It hurts like hell, but you know.
Listen, you've had it.
We've had our stuff, you got
the most outside of the Celtics. You have the most, right?
We're tied
right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we got one.
You got one.
So
exactly.
Give us a fucking break.
And most of the Celtics was all 70s.
Yeah, well, Lakers had five.
It was Bird, right?
Bill Russell had like 11. Bird
Holy
had three.
Shit.
The whole decade of the 70s was the Celtics, basically.
Yeah.
When it was just white guys, like Red Auerbach going like, fucking, let's just buy all these white guys.
Yeah.
Pass harder. We got to pass harder.
When Celtics fans like to get on their soapbox, they say, how many titles do you have in the last 40 years? Like,
I mean, yeah, listen, it's not hard to hate Boston people. They're the most outspoken, you know, whatever. I'm sure your town is great. You have a lot of fucking racism and poverty there. It's probably awesome.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's true.
The neighborhoods there, it's like poverty central, man. And then just like a downtown. I don't know. And then Harvard.
Oh, massholes.
Yeah, great. Good job.
Good job, guys.
I have a lot of friends from there. But like, and they're mostly cool.
They need to hear shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that. Okay. All right. We got to get to the actual, God damn it. It's 7:22. How long have we been talking?
It's so different now. I haven't done the pod since, you know, Aaron's last show. It's so different to not see her, you know, glance in, like looking at you and looking at time.
Just giving me anxiety.
Yeah, just
every time
eyes.
She would look at me, I'd be like, fuck. Okay. We got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very different.
I love Aaron, but I do not miss that aspect of her time anxiety. So we do, like I said, paranormal contemporary mythology. How into that? We know you're into sports. How into this other side of life are you?
It's the best type of fiction to enjoy, type of stuff. I love you know, be in that world, read up on it, and you know, watch scary ghost stories online.
Do you get into, like, how deep do you get into stuff?
Not on a belief level as much as this is creeping me out. It's a theatrics level. I like to, you know, consider the what ifs. I'm not sure if
sure. But do you have like a favorite topic that you do? Because when I do YouTube, I do like cops fucking up. Like, that's my entire YouTube is just cops fucking up.
I like watching compilations of like ghost adventures and stuff. Like all the, like the scariest moments, you know, like on YouTube.
The produce, like the fucking History Channel guys or whatever.
So I can't handle sitting through like the full hour of it because them staring at dark rooms for 45 minutes is fucking agonizing. But, you know, it's like top 10 scariest moments. I'll watch like a few hours of those, you know.
Genius marketing, though, right? Or just a money making idea. Like, we're just going to go into a house and it'll be dark for like 90% of it. And we'll still sell ads every 10 minutes.
Producers will knock on the door behind us, freak us out, you know?
Like, I will say it's funny because I never really answer this question. Like, I as far as what I watch, because I do watch cop videos, but I watch a lot of poker videos.
Yeah.
I can watch poker videos all day. And I like, it's just fascinating to me.
Like the strategy behind it?
Just like watching hands happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you one of those poker dorks who like knows all the phrases and shit?
I got the nuts. See,
I got none straight.
I don't play much and I don't know the phrases, but I did win the poker tournament, got that PS5.
Yeah, like, I was in that tournament.
Yeah. Wow.
It was our friend's tournament. It was like a 20 person tournament or something.
That's some good odds, honestly. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing. Willie won because Willie, I'm not trying to insult you, Willie, doesn't know how to play. So, or maybe this is his whole game. Maybe he's putting that out there so that I underestimate him. But like, basically, you can't. He's been five steps
ahead the whole time. Well, what's the Willie style? Just kind of.
You can't read me because I bluff for fun sometimes, and then I bluff for real sometimes.
Gotcha.
Not that so my bluff is
a wild card.
He's just You can't. You just can't predict what he's going to do. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's a good poker strategy, right?
Yeah. It worked out.
He won a PS5. Out. Congratulations, Willie. Congrats, now I Willie. Can't even get Baldur's Gate because I don't have a PS5.
I got it.
Let's get into the WoW scale.
WoW scale.
Are you a Wed or are you a Willie?
The WoW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It is a 5-question quiz. At the end of the 5 questions, I will give you a grade. It's anywhere between a 0 and a 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. You've heard this a million times. Are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Let's do it.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes. No and no.
Interesting.
Yeah, aliens definitely. Yeah, absolutely. They're out there. I don't think we've reached the capacity or the, you know. Yeah, I don't think we're important enough for them to visit. Basically.
All this disclosure stuff. What do you think about the Tic Tac pilot? You remember the pilot following the Tic Tac? What do you think about that?
Bullshit.
You think it's bullshit?
Probably. I don't know. I think if aliens pop up, it's going to be presented to us in a way that's not the same UFO videos
Do you think that their secret military creating crafts to present bullshit to credible people? Or do you think the credible people are like somehow brainwashed or lying or something in that realm? Do you think that there's something they actually saw that we made?
I think plausible deniability is a very strong way of getting things like this rolling along, you know, like it could be this, someone could present it like this. It's probably something else. I know it might be, who knows? Maybe it all is part of that alien fold, but
you're sort of agnostic when it sounds like you're agnostic. Like, yeah. Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong. It could happen, but I think if aliens do pop up at Earth, it'll be a more momentous thing, you know?
It'll be an event. It's going to be the 9/11. Only it'll be aliens, and who knows if it'll be a disaster or if they could turn water into oil, and we all love oil. What if they turned all of Earth's water into oil? That would suck.
Nestle's like,
we did it.
We noticed you needed something.
Drink our salty, shitty Coca-Cola water.
Fucking. All right, ghosts?
I'm going to say yes.
Do you have a ghost story?
Personally, no. My father has, and I...
Oh, we talked to him about it. Yeah. So, if you're listening, Josh is the son of... What's your dad's name?
Tom Alona.
And he did the show. He's a therapist. A therapist? Mm-hmm. Psychiatrist? What
psychologist.
Do you say?
Yeah, therapist. Psychologist. Yeah.
Psychologist. He had a good ghost story. So
mm-hmm.
look up Alona.
He's got a good story.
What about yeah. Bigfoot?
Big no. Not a Bigfoot guy. Unfortunately.
Big, no Bigfoot.
Yeah.
All right. Like, question number three. Psychics.
I don't think so. I think a lot of it is just human aggrandizement, you know? If something spiritual or supernatural is talking or part of the world, it's not going to be through this, you know, vain psych, you know, people who think they know this.
This fat conduit who lives off of fucking.
Yeah. Not going to be for a snake oil salesman, like priests, anybody who thinks they can talk to a divine power. They're
Shots fired at religion.
I love that you threw that in there because I don't associate that. I'm like, oh yeah, you talk to God. Like
like that too. But you're what are you? Like,
I was raised Catholic. But when you're raised Catholic, you don't. I will give that upbringing enough props to say that you have space to doubt it and not feel as indoctrinated by it. It's more, you know, philosophical, moralistic teachings, which can be fucking awful too, but it is the spiritualistic side can, you know, we all in Catholic school had our this is bullshit talk, so that's stuck. And you know, that's I don't think, yeah, it's a recurring theme. I don't think humans are trying to figure shit out. I don't think we have the answers, and it's okay to not have the answers. So anyone that says they do.
In regards to the afterlife, you mean, or God?
Spiritualism, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah.
And we don't know what there's something super, like more than us. And we definitely don't have the capability of having the ego to believe that we are in constant communication with it on that type of level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my view.
Last question. Do you believe that we live in a simulation? Do you believe in simulation theory?
What's the middle ground for this? Because I think it's very much a possibility.
For me, if you want me to define it, it's we're an experiment to see what happens. Like if you let your Sims just go forever,
mm-hmm.
that's what we are.
Yeah. I think in terms of explaining what we are, it tells the best story for me, I think. Like it's the ultimate kind of view of what this technological race, what this human hubris can accomplish, the human even, you know, capabilities. If it were true, if it isn't true, it tells a good moral lesson, I guess. That's, you know, it explains things in a way that makes more sense to me than coming from, you know, to Adam and Eve and all that.
Sure. Tell me of what you think about how this aligns with the simulation theory. I heard a quote recently that kind of fascinated me, which was, the universe wanted to look at itself,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we are. It's just like a million different ways of
way of perceiving it. I like that. That's interesting to me.
Would you call like a Petri dish a simulation? Like, could it be like that much of an analog where it's just like any kind of like?
Maybe, but that, you know, honestly, I'm going back to that thought, Willie, that's kind of the way I kind of view humanity, in the sense I like the idea that everyone is connected that way, which is the truth, the way matter and atoms work. And thinking of that in the sense of we are just part of the universe experiencing itself. I like that. We'll never know the real answer. So I'll, you know, settling for the best interpretation.
Right. I lean towards liking that because it still makes me go like, well, I can't explain the connectivity.
You're a three.
You're a three. Okay.
Congratulations, man. You're really sitting on the fence, not
sitting
choosing
on the
any
fence.
Side. Willie, hit us with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, poltergeist. The German word means noisy ghost, which are responsible for physical disturbances. Pinching, biting, hitting. These troublesome spirits. Ghost is just something you see. This one does all the damage. Are these things real? Is it time to reevaluate the definition? This is all very religious. Let's go through some of history's best examples and then talk about some new ideas of what these things could be tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Hearing all the cues, Wade, makes my finger instinctively reach for the button.
I hate that for you. I am so sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. I miss it. It's been.
Hey, maybe we'll do a special show. Right. You can come and we'll do like a reunion or something.
Exactly.
If we ever get Aaron as a guest, we'll just do a reunion. We'll do it on the stage.
Absolutely.
You're welcome to come. You can be on the producer, Mike.
Yeah, I'm down for it. I'm down for it.
I want to say where I stand on this first so that as I complain about shit, you know where I stand. I've been afraid of Poltergeist because of the fucking movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and they took all everything from that movie was like from real accounts, supposedly real.
According to that fucking couple who made their fucking money traveling around being huge charlatans. They're doing all the now it's the doll.
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, like, even in their writer's room, them picking what they used for Poltergeist stories were from, you know, you look up Poltergeist stories, you mix it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I think that there is something to it, but I don't think it is an evil ghost because there's a million reasons why a ghost should want revenge, and mm-hmm. and these don't really.
But remember when Bart gets an elephant, Stampy, and then they put him into the nature preserve or whatever, and he's like mm-hmm. an asshole to the other elephants.
Oh yeah,
like don't you think that some people are just assholes, and like if you turn into a ghost, you would turn into a poltergeist because one of their big things is like pulling women's hair, right? Like I've seen that a lot. They like to pull women's hair, which is like, what are you, a fucking 5-year-old?
A 5-year-old, yeah.
Take that back. If they're all kids, yeah, I'm into it. You know what I mean? You don't know what to mm-hmm. do. You know?
I don't think they're kids. I'm saying they're stunted individuals.
Oh,
if okay, they exist
thing,
at all.
Same thing. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And also, a lot of the Poltergeist stories aren't even associated with ghosts because a long time ago, they believed in other entities. And mm-hmm. so it's like, oh, it's the, I don't know what they are. You know, like, oh, it's the Boogans. So it's not a ghost story because it's associated with different entities that
yeah.
in their belief lore.
The lore could be the boogeyman, right? Like you said, Boogans. It could be like Aswang in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Like that's what our whole movie was about and stuff. Like that's it could right. just be that, right? Like, hey, if anything weird happens, it's because of a fucking...
Well, yeah. So what delineates a poltergeist versus like a demon?
Well, see, a lot of early poltergeists were associated with demons. Mm-hmm. Basically, poltergeist is just physical paranormal activity.
That's like, and a so,
like moving chairs, pulling hair.
Yeah.
Just anything a 5-year-old would do, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And also, though, you know, a lot of the stories are paralleled with what they believe are demons, too. You know, mm-hmm. poltergeist stories are a lot of demon stories.
It's the Venn diagram, right? I mean, like different people believe that these things are the same thing. But like, where are you at? Like, what do you think? Do you believe in demons separate from poltergeists?
I believe that there are other entities here on Earth that mm-hmm. we cannot perceive.
Josh, you know, what do you think? Do you believe that?
You guys have talked about like the multiple dimensions within the same reality type of thing. Mm-hmm. There's some things, you know, you just can't explain, and I'm open to it.
I don't think anybody has nailed a definition down that's accurate. And because mm-hmm. our definitions are so attached to the same way that demons explain everything, a lot of religious people think aliens are demons. And I'm like, well, that's just what you believe in. That doesn't mean that this thing is that. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's entities here that we can't perceive, can't explain.
Yeah,
might be good or bad, I don't know, and they're not aliens, or just like I think there's existence in realms that we cannot perceive.
But you're also like tainting the water before we get into it, because you're already saying that poltergeists are real. I just want to know what's like, should we go chronologically, or like how's your list, like what's
I'm just grabbing some off of Wikipedia, right? So this one's from 1654. These are famous cases. Mm-hmm. This is the Glen Luce Devil.
He's made out of milk caramel.
He's smooth and not for everyone's palate. This guy, this mathematician George Sinclair, wrote this book, Satan's Invisible World Discovered.
Mm-hmm.
He describes an alleged poltergeist incident known as the Devil of Glen Luce having usefulness for refuting atheism.
Okay.
The incident is described as having taken place at a house, Gilbert Campbell, in Glen Luce, I guess it's a city, October 1654. A beggar, Alexander Agnew, he was refused a handout. Oh, I'm not going to give you nothing. So Agnew had promised to cause his family harm. And over the next 2 years, strange phenomena happened to the house, including the cutting of warp thread, whatever that is, mm-hmm. demonic voices, strange whistling noises, and stones being thrown. The poltergeist claims have been dismissed by researchers as a hoax. The magic historian Thomas Frost suggested the phenomena was a result of conjuring trickery. It's funny because in a lot of these things, they're just like, oh, you know, researchers say this is a hoax. And that's just what they all say. And
whatever about that. Like, obviously, that's what they're going to say. It's a hoax, right? But I don't think we don't need to dwell on that. Okay. My whole thing is, here's what keyed me into the fraud of it. Oh, it's to defeat atheism.
Yeah,
which is like, okay, so is any of this true? Like, so you just want to scare people into believing your God? Like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, you know? And that's the whole problem with a lot of these poltergeist stories. They parallel stories of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to hell, or they're going to get you here now.
It's weird to like work in this area of talking about this shit when like I don't believe in religion. I just don't know how you could. And so now you're adding poltergeist to like, oh, but eh.
A lot of it feels like a game of telephone where, you know, some priest hears a story and like, ah, oh, shit, that's the devil.
That's, welcome to history as a whole, dude. I mean, like, what do we know? We know nothing.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure I'm interested to see, even if I'm not sure about the like truth of the story, what the experience that led him to tell the story is. Because, you know, where does that come from? All these stories you hear from about, let's say, like, hypothetically, they're not real, like they're all fake. What compels a person to, you know, spread the word that they're seeing this stuff? What compels
You bringing this up makes me go, the fascinating thing about poltergeist stories is when you hear a personal account.
Yeah.
Right? You've heard of the Amityville Horror, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another couple. That's that couple, right? What are they called again?
The Warrens.
Yeah. The Warrens. What do you mean, Willie?
The couple? Is this their? What do you mean?
So no, you know, the Warrens like went around. They made a fucking livelihood of just like going to any paranormal thing that was happening, showing up, being like investigators, and being like, oh, and a lot of it was demons and stuff. So I think they exorcised them, right? Like,
yeah,
they were just like fraudulent, sort of like, you know, fucking whatever. But people believe them. And the reason that we all know who they are is because what's the movie with the doll?
The fucking five of them, but The Conjuring's the main series.
The Conjuring is the one that started it, right?
Annabelle's the doll.
Annabelle came from The Conjuring. So now there's like a five movie. It's like an MCU only for The Conjuring. And the Warrens are like in there.
Yeah.
They're spread out throughout there. They're like making money on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're investigators. They're paranormal investigators.
Like, they're like the most famous ghost hunters. I actually do know a decent amount about these guys because it's fun. Like all this stuff surrounding, it's fun to read about.
But I don't want to just talk about the Warrens. I'm sorry for continually bringing them up. But like,
what do they have to do with Amityville Horror?
They're the ones who investigated it.
They made the story big. Like they helped make the press cycle go. They helped, you know, spread the word of all that's going on. They crafted the story around it. Like all the mystique, they helped get the book deals going. So they are like the megaphone for a lot of these ghost stories you hear about.
Is it Texas Chainsaw Massacre one of them too? Like they've done a lot of the big ones.
The Conjuring 2 was based on like a famous haunting in Britain, in London specifically. Basically, there was a trial, which is what the third Conjuring was based on, where someone was pretending to be murdered somebody and said they were possessed by a poltergeist as well. And then I went to trial and they used that as an actual defense.
Did the Warrens like testify and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
So the woman, Willie, the woman was psychic. And the man, mm-hmm. what's the man's angle? What's his deal?
He's the pastor. He's the religious side of things. So, yeah. So he's the church. She's the I can connect and talk to the dead aspect.
Yeah.
I think they're both the dead now, but I'm not sure. Very active in the 70s, 80s, and then they made millions off of the James Wan.
So they made a but let's just say that they're charlatans who mm-hmm. were making money off of things that were real, right? Let's just say that. So go back to Amityville Horror, because I don't actually know what this is. I've never seen the movie. I've never read about it. I've only heard the name.
The setting of the book, which was made in 1977, was from a real murder case in 1974. Ronald DeFeo Jr. shot all six members of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1975, George and Kathy Lutz and their three children moved into the house. But they left after 28 days because they were being terrorized by paranormal phenomena.
Are poltergeists just violent ghosts, or are they completely different? Are they just ghosts who can touch things, or is it entirely different?
That's the whole thing, right? So ghosts are apparitions, are things that you see. As soon as there's anything else physical to it, noise, movement. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a blanket word for a lot of things.
What happened in Amityville? This guy killed. Okay, you already said it. He killed his family. People moved in there, and then paranormal shit was happening.
Yeah, it's very Shining. I think it was Stephen King took inspiration from that case too, but I might be mixing the timelines up. But yeah, it's very much a murder happened because he was influenced by some other presence, and then the family felt.
I would say that there are no poltergeists in The Shining. The only person who's violent in The Shining is Jack, right?
No, I mean, like, with the Gradys, like, all of that, it's kind of implied that these are, in the at least by the book, that they're kind of demons, these ghosts, like, and they're all but in they his don't... ear.
I didn't read the book. I've only seen I watched the TV one, too. But...
Oh, no.
Well, I couldn't like that kid. He had a duck face.
I couldn't like the kid for the same reason, man.
Danny, original Danny, so fucking perfect. Yeah. Do you know he's 5 years old? He was the age of your son right now. Can you imagine having him act, sitting on set for like 8 hours?
And dealing with Stanley Kubrick.
Like... I mean, he had to have had at least 2 years training for that from his parents. Yeah. Being like, sit there.
No. Come on, don't fucking demonize parents.
No. I'm saying
no. What happened is, I'll tell you. I'll give you the answer. He had an older brother that he emulated, and so he acted a lot older than he was. He was just a fucking amazing performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Dr. Sleep? The Ewan McGregor,
the sequel or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's bad, right? It's bad.
I was pretty solid, honestly. I thought
you liked it.
Yeah. It's good.
Casual. You fucking casual.
Very casual. But I think the Amityville was. They're similar stories, you know. Well, demons, poltergeist whispering. Yeah.
So one little side thing before we get into some more stories that I read, which was interesting, was sure it's so easy to say that anything is a hoax, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this realm, some of these people were saying that some of these hoaxers were people that were experiencing huge trauma. So it's not like this kid wanted attention. For proper things is like, hey, this kid's being beat up or sexually assaulted, experiencing trauma,
mm-hmm.
and so like messing with the parents, I don't know, brought more people to the house, and in a realm of like not fuck with the parents, but like bring other people in to like try to find out what's going on, like mm-hmm. oh geez. That's fucking nuts.
Like if this was a movie and he was talking, let's call it a rom-com or something. Not that he wants to fuck whoever can hear him, but there's another storyline where the guy who can hear him wants to fuck a girl. Are you with me?
That's like a movie? With me?
I'm pitching a movie right now.
Oh, okay.
This kid is just like, hey, I was sexually assaulted and murdered.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not, well, go on. Go on. Go on with your
No. If I got it wrong, I got it wrong.
No, I'm saying like not that the kids are dead, that they're currently experiencing trauma. And so they're
from a poltergeist.
So the poltergeist is the trauma manifesting, like it's what they perceive and how they cope with their trauma. They
Got it.
I don't know if like invent will be even the right word for it, but with kids, they're so they can create realities in their own minds, and it might genuinely be what they experience or, you know, are perceiving, even if it is just from a kid's point of view. But
I'm saying also on top of that, that they are actually doing the physical things.
Oh yeah. That's right. What The Conjuring 2 is actually. Going back to them.
It's about child rape.
That UK, it's a little girl who said she was possessed by a poltergeist. She like put on a fake voice. You can hear it. There's a video of it online. It sounds like a demon speaking through her.
What year is it?
76, I forget.
It's called the 70s.
It's called the Enfield Poltergeist. That's what the name of the story is.
Enfield?
Enfield. It's like a neighborhood in London, I think.
Oh, got it.
Thank you.
Okay. And there was a whole...
I root for the Enfield football club.
Yeah, that's... how'd you even get acquainted with them?
It just sounds like a football club. They probably don't have one. I don't know. It's probably not big enough. But Enfield football club sounds legit.
Yeah, it sounds legit. The girl was not, though. Yeah, she... I mean, it's proved later that it was her putting on an act. She was like 7-8 years old, and she made her family buy into it and everything. But
just for attention, or
I don't know what it was. I forget the exact rationale, but
in that realm, if there's some big trauma going on, it's like, hey, let's get like if people are paying attention to that and people are showing up, it's like, hey, maybe they'll stop raping me if I get some people here.
Yeah, right. You cry for help.
Mm-hmm. For real. For real. And, my teachers won't listen to me.
I don't normally like people just like, oh, it's a hoax. But I'm like, oh, there's so much credibility to that.
Mm-hmm.
And also one other version out there that I kind of fall in line with too is so poltergeists are mass forms of energy that a living person unknowingly controls. So like hauntings are normally associated with a place, but poltergeists are associated with the person. So when they move, it follows them.
Yeah.
And so one idea is that like maybe they've experienced trauma. People experiencing poltergeists aren't in charge of what happens around them, but maybe they are connecting and making things happen around them.
Yeah.
Uncontrolled psychic energy with some trauma.
Mm-hmm. Perfect combo. Like that's cool, honestly.
Yeah. I do like that. It begs that you believe in psychic energy, right? Mm-hmm. But then that also is a can of worms, because it's like, so are these dead people, are they demons, for lack of a better term? Like, how do you decipher? Fuck, man. It's just like, it feels a lot like trauma manifesting into a thing that's not
so real. I don't remember specific stories, but of watching some things in the past of poltergeist following people, just some really compelling stories of like, fuck, dude, shit's happening and I have to move out of here. And they move. And then the same shit happens at the next house, like shit break in and stuff. And I'm like, oh.
Let's say like what's real, what's not, on a scale of like 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Where would you put trauma and where would you put actual poltergeist?
See, that kind of goes back to even the WoW scale.
It's also a loaded question.
Yeah.
It's
like, because I think if people can hypothetically communicate with, say, other worlds and all that, it's not going to be a conscious thing. So manifesting itself through trauma would make, you know, such an extreme emotion, such a...
That's kind of interesting. Like, and let's pair it with that this is a simulation. Mm-hmm. And if you break yourself, maybe you can see through the simulation a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sometimes your brain... I mean, it's also the kind of when you die thing, this chemical release, but it also might just be you can perceive things that just get the unlock. Yeah.
It's
all about the
brain, right? So they're saying that some kind of quantum mechanical stuff changes during puberty, where somebody was studying this. I can't find who was studying it, but that they found fluctuations that can cause disturbances up to 2 meters away. Virtual particles that pair up when they show up and annihilate each other in quantum mechanics. They're saying the same thing can happen to people going through puberty, where virtual particles can be spontaneously brought up.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow increases the air pressure around people. And so could you go while your brain is changing, you can spontaneously bring up, and not everyone, you know, it's all different, whatever, but you could spontaneously make a particle show up, and that would affect the air pressure just from something coming out of nowhere. Objects would move around you. You don't have control of what's happening. I don't know. It's a stretch, but
it's as much of a stretch as the rest of this, I think. Yeah. So it's like almost a superpower that they don't have. It's like an X-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You just explained X-Men, right? Because you get puberty and then you suddenly get powers and you don't know how to control them. Like, that's what this could be. It could just be people who are more in tune with some weird brain shit just start manifesting shit because they don't really know how to control it. Maybe it's real. Maybe it's not. But it could just be baby steps or.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And the only reason why I dig that is because the story for years is it's either a demon or, it's so attached to something that I don't.
Archaic fucking folklore. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels about time to update all this shit. Right. There's not demons, there's not angels, but if this shit is happening, maybe Bill Nye should look into it, or any of these fucking celebrity guys,
trying to find the reason behind the unexplainable.
Right.
Because
if you're a skeptic and a scientist, right, if you're Neil deGrasse Tyson or Bill Nye or fucking Bill Gates even, put your fucking money where your mouth is, dude. Disprove this shit. You're supposed to be a scientist. Who are the scientists on these cases? It doesn't sound like there are any.
Yeah.
It's just like urban legends that fucking telephone their way into our brains.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you say telephone, because a lot of the classic cases were basically kind of rewritten through time. It's for a long time, it was a story, and then finally somebody wrote it down 50 years later. It's like, that doesn't work.
This is what happens. Dude, no, I mean, that's not blasphemous. That's what happened. Shit. I mean, I have two things to say. One, this monomyth thing about Jesus or whatever religion you follow being carved into ancient Egyptian walls, right? I don't know if that's confirmation bias or if that's stories being told and getting fucked up through the different generations, right? Mm-hmm. You don't even have to go back that far to see this happening. We've all seen fucking rumors in high school or whatever. It becomes its own thing. We were talking about Kubrick and The Shining, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shelley Duvall. Shelley Duvall. He yelled at her one time. It's the one time that his daughter was filming shit. So people just thought it was that whole time.
Whole thing. She used to be the whole production. Yeah.
Whole story. She was hanging out with the Beatles and shit. She was fine. Or not the Beatles. Not the Beatles. The fucking Monty Python. She was hanging out with Monty Python. She was having a blast. Mm-hmm. She's in fucking London having a blast. Yeah. She got told to do another take. I've actually not seen that footage. All I'm saying is that's how the story goes. Kubrick is very hard to work with because we've seen the Shelley Duvall shit, right? Or even go the Batman, what's his name? I'm sorry. The actor, the Batman actor.
Christian Bale.
It's not Chris. Christian Bale.
The Terminator
yelling at the lighting guy. You think he does that on every movie? No, this is just something that was.
David Fincher is a freaking known for doing 60 takes and breaking actors, but we see David Fincher as this cool director.
Because it's Well, and that's what's weird. It's like David Fincher. Yeah, that's interesting because, like, yeah, why don't we demonize him? But we do demonize Kubrick. Right. But like Kubrick, he was just like a fat dork, man.
He was just like a book nerd,
dude. He didn't know what he was doing. All this fucking bullshit about Room 237 and shit. Totally fucking nonsense. He had no idea what he was doing.
It gives a lot of credit to.
What do you got? You like the Native American one? What do you think?
No. That movie is somebody like reaching. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of.
Have you guys ever done that as a topic?
What, the Shining?
Yeah, or the moon. I mean, you've done the moon landing, but like related to Kubrick specifically.
We've not done, I don't think we've done a straight up Kubrick. That would be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, I know. Especially because so many people say that, like, look at Star Trek. You know, you think they could have faked the moon landing with that technology? I'm like, oh, did you see 2001? That was made right before that.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, well, let me moon
landing
right
is
there.
A Mattel backdrop. What do you call it?
Willie,
matte painting. Sorry. Yeah.
Willie, do you really? You think that the moon landing happened, but also that we faked it?
Yes. Yes. I think we went to the moon.
And do you think that Stanley Kubrick directed the fake footage that we've all seen?
I think that some of the first moon landing footage was faked. I think that we went to the moon, though. It might have been a safety precaution in case they died in front of anybody.
Sure. Yeah. Like they were precursing some propaganda. Like, no, we did it. So that the country wouldn't fall into fucking whatever it would have fallen into. Probably nothing. But like,
would we have lost the Cold War? Even though we won the Cold War, would we have lost it if they died on the moon? Answer is yes.
I don't think so, man. Dude,
they got to space before we did.
Yeah, but we got spies and shit. There's way more into it than just like who can get to space first.
What year was the moon landing?
69.
So yeah, right after 2001. I mean,
it's but here's the thing. If you're going to fake the moon landing, even if you don't know it, like, all right, let's just put our let's put our heads in the same place that Kubrick is. He makes 2001. He's like gets this next project. Which, first of all, like, where is it coming from? Is his agent telling him to do it? Like, how does he get this project where he's like doing a, he thinks it's a movie, right? Mm-hmm. So he's like doing a moon landing and none of the cameras look anything like anything he would have shot, right? And I guess maybe they told him like, oh, it has to be still and it has to be this. I can say all that, but then like, so his next movie or however many movies, I don't know the chronology of his
I just looked it up. It's 2001 and then he does Clockwork Orange right after that.
Okay, and there's no hints in Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm.
The hint of it is the media blinded everyone from, that's the whole thing, is that like you're blinded from your life because of media.
What do you mean? Who's blinded? I just, what do you mean?
In A Clockwork Orange, where his torture is to just watch stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like that is what reformed him and made him.
It's like nuts. An anti-propaganda thing. So, okay. So if we follow that, then like, so his way to tell the public that he faked the moon landing is to put the kid in a NASA sweater and like have the carpet look like the launch pad. We know that he was not meticulous about this shit. Everyone says that he was. He wasn't. He was the most unsure guy who everyone said was a genius, and he went with it.
When we do this episode, we almost have to watch the practice of the moon.
Oh yeah, you got
seen footage of that.
I think before you got to watch the movie itself, and then like go into it.
The
like,
Shining?
No. Available. The 254. What's the
Room 234?
234,
mean
yeah. The doc.
No, 237.
It.
No, that
whatever the number is.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doc is like, there's like four or five.
That doc mixes the hotels up. They get the hotels wrong. There's the Overlook and the Stanley. And they get the
facts. But that's confusing for everybody. I don't remember. Which is which? I know it's based on the Stanley, yeah. But I don't even know if is the Stanley even in it. Do they do like a?
They shoot it there.
A fucking. Well, the whole inside was on a soundstage, and then there's also
the
like
exteriors.
The exteriors, but there's no maze in the exteriors. So the maze, I think, was built, or that's a different hotel. It's confusing.
The exterior is the Overlook in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The book is based on the Stanley. They didn't shoot anything of the original movie in the Stanley.
Listen, I don't know why I made us talk about this because
the episode is calling to you. Once you guys do it, like you just know it's waiting.
Yeah, we should definitely do a Stanley Kubrick episode for sure. But well, I already
just
know
to tie it in though, we know a couple people that work there. Blue and Jed both worked at the Stanley Hotel for a summer, and they both had ghost stories from there.
Ooh. Oh no way. Dude, I went there and I stole a towel.
Uh-huh.
I still have it. It's my golf towel.
Gotcha. Is it creepy in there?
Just because it's old.
What's the vibe? Just
because you know what the vibe is like? Have you ever been into a Scientology building?
I've walked by the one in Hollywood. You know, I've peeked inside.
Go in one, and then and then you'll understand the feeling. It's like, but I feel like it's all manufactured. You know, it's like. Yeah, it's scary in here. Like, watch out. And there is like tunnels under the hotel that like the workers would take when it was too cold and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all had like, you know, experiences under there. But dude, people can freak themselves out, you know? So I just don't know.
Well, kind of roundabout, Stephen King was like his most fucked up alcoholic, you know, cocaine snorting self. When he was experiencing a lot of that stuff for The Shining. So, you know, maybe.
But
that
did
was...
he, because it sounds like you've actually read about Stephen King. Did he actually experience any of this, or did he to the Stanley and
that
like,
one, I'm blanking
that
on.
It was a cool setting.
He didn't make up the ghosts. They're actually from the hotel, but he did experience them. Go on.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, you're right. Actually, I think he did experience some stuff. Don't know exactly what, but
like one of the things was one of the ghosts would like put your clothes away, you know, into your.
That's actually a thing. Yeah. So when you go to the Stanley, if you do a tour, they talk about that ghost. That's like a maid who died or whatever, or a housekeeper, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. She would like fold up all your clothes, which is like awesome, dude. This is like free labor. Like, what's wrong with this?
Yeah.
I'm into it.
It works out.
And if that was some weird entity, it's like, hey, man, how do we pay you for your work?
Right.
how do we clone you and just like have ghost slaves? Like, how do we do this?
The payment is when the guest takes the shower.
I'm a freak. I'm a little bit of a freak.
Ghost slaves.
One idea to as we wrap things up, you know, you've heard of pareidolia,
yeah,
where you see faces everywhere,
face pareidolia. But there's also audio pareidolia, and there's a lot of instances where people hear things, and like if you tell someone what they're gonna hear, they'll hear that, and then if you say, oh no, actually, you said this, they'll hear that too.
That's the thing, right? Like, haven't we? It's like. The audio version of white dress, blue dress, right?
Yeah.
But there's also ones where it's like, what did he say? Some people hear this, some people hear that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all just like a go on. I'm sorry.
And I think that it's a good example of our brains are smart and trying to make everything smooth for us. And you hear words because that's what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same vein, we're all brainwashed by what we believe in. And that's, I always say this, but it's just like, so it's great for them to try to apply quantum mechanics to the realm of poltergeist, because just because something moved and you don't believe in ghosts doesn't mean that it didn't move for some reason. Yeah. And so I like going into the future going like, oh, that maybe we could eventually explain what this is. I don't believe in ghosts, but I do believe in poltergeist activity following a person. So there's something that I believe in to that controlling of the environment.
I mean, I'm on kind of on the same thread as you, Willie. Like, I'm not going to deny outright any of this stuff because I'm very much in the fence of it could happen. I don't know. Who the fuck knows for sure? But the explanation of it coming from that perception of the brain trying to rationalize something, the brain not being capable of rationalizing something. And from what I have learned from the experience enough is that the brain will, you know, it's a funny thing. You can't really believe it all the time. It's it can make up its own reality a lot of the time. And a lot of that perception is to say that isn't real. And for Poltergeist specifically, the concept I think is even scarier for me. And it's just a, you know, sends chills up my spine versus, you know, typical ghosts. Just the more maliciousness of it and the what the fuck is this thing type of aspect versus the tangible remnant of a human, you know? And yeah, that's they're creepy.
I feel like humanity would be advised to stop thinking that we know everything.
Mm-hmm.
If chairs are moving across the room, stop saying that it's crazy, right? Because maybe that happened. I would say, and Josh, you touched on this earlier about like energy and it not dissipating. I mean, you didn't say that, but like, that's kind of what you were saying about ghosts and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why be afraid of any of that? Like, why be afraid of a poltergeist? Has anyone died from a poltergeist? Like, are there unsolved mysteries about poltergeists? Maybe. But probably it's like some fucking jilted lover or some shit that fucking got you killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm not afraid of like saying like fuck you ghosts in the world, right? Because if there were ghosts and they would come and get me or whatever. But mm-hmm. if they did come and get me, I'd be like, well, this is reality.
Yeah.
So I will adapt and I'll mm-hmm. figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole like antagonism thing, like I don't care about that because it just seems like, oh, the second this guy is like mean to me, that means it's evil. All I'm saying is if I was haunted right now, it'd be fine. It'd be fine. I'd be mm-hmm. like, yeah, okay, let's do it, man. What's up?
Like it's a story to tell, isn't it? Like it's cool.
Well, yeah, as a writer, sure. Fucking I need material.
Exactly. Exactly. We're going back to work soon.
Well, we'll see. I'm white.
TBD.
Josh, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Shrapnel guys.
Video, thank you for watching. Real Life Sci-Fi fans, thank you for listening. Patreon.com/Real Life Sci-Fi, 2 bonus episodes a week. We are going to continue the conversation with our good friend Josh Alona. I think more of this. Like, we'll just keep doing this, and it's going to be very fun. So this is like... Do you guys have like a marketing teaser that we could just off the top of your head, like what's the best way to get people to listen to our next episode?
Yeah. It's start of Halloween month. It's time for a creepy subject, isn't it? Like gotta go creepy.
Welcome to Halloween. Welcome to the hay rides. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the haunted houses.
Yeah. It's spooky month.
All right. So we will continue that conversation. Ooh. Josh, thank you for being here. Do you have any plugs or anything that you want to throw out there?
Strap on video audience, submit stuff to Channel 101. You know, we have our deadlines. So that's the only thing I'm actively running that I can plug. Beyond that, it's we'll see.
Well, because I'm out of the loop, how do you actually submit to 101 now?
Go to our website, channel101.org. Press the submit button or submit to submissions at channel 101.
And you upload your file?
They get emailed to us and we panel reviews it on next Wednesday or 3 days from whenever this airs.
I think in the bonus, we could talk about the most scared we've ever been and the worst 101 pilot we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Hurt some feelings.
Yeah, man. So if you've ever made a 101 pilot, you got to go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi because we might be trashing you We might be absolutely destroying you, and you want to hear that.
Yeah. See if we're talking shit.
Conflict is entertainment. Mm-hmm. What else are you doing? You going to sleep? All right. Well, I'll plug something. Fucking twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. Willie and I have a new narrative paranormal podcast that we're writing, and the country of India is going to produce it. So I think it's going to be a fun ride. And we're going to
They're going to fully produce what we fully write. Produce. It's great.
It's going to be, okay. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to ask you guys about this in a little bit.
The show is called Pair Abnormal, and we're going to be brainstorming it twitch.tv/reallifesci-fi. On Monday nights, we'll be watching football and drinking, and it'll be fun.
You can watch us come up with shit. Hopefully it's entertaining.
And also, if you're in the chat, and if you are in the chat, we call you Gary, but also anything you put in that chat is copyright free. We can use it for free. So if you're going to be pitching shit, don't expect any monetary. All right. Thanks, everyone. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're after you. We'll see you next time. Love ya.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.